And as all our parents leave to go take kids, I'll tell them just, I'll go longer so that they can come back for it. But today is part of just our parenting workshop. And we have Kevin and Shelley Huddleston here with us, who are dear friends of mine and some from our staff as well. We have got to know Kevin over many years in ministry. But I want to just share a little bit about them. They've been in ministry together for over 35 years. Most of that was spent in San Angelo working in their youth ministry there. And then recently, and this is how some of our church has gotten to see and meet Kevin, is he is the director of ministries for Arms of Hope. And we do a lot with Arms of Hope. And I told him I give him all the credit for our youth group being able to be a part of Arms of Hope because he put in the good word for us. But he has a bachelor's degree from Abilene Christian, master's in missional leadership from Rochester, and then a doctorate in spiritual formation from Lipscomb. So he is well educated. He's got more education than I do. But most importantly that I do want you to hear about Kevin, though, is his heart for people, his heart for families, his heart for parents, his heart for kids, and Shelley as well. She has spent over 28 years in the San Angelo School District and is actually an assistant superintendent there. They have two daughters and two son-in-laws and then two grandsons. And then he said, made sure to put this part on there. They have two rescue schnauzers that rule the house at home. So, but they are a special couple that parents, if you haven't signed up to come join us for lunch and a couple more sessions with Kevin and Shelley, please just show up over there. And we've got plenty of food, and we would love for you to be able to just spend time with Kevin and Shelley as they just invest in our family here at Park Avenue. So please know, parents, and we've got babysitting, and it's free. So parents, if you have not signed up, please come across the way. We'd still love to have you after worship this morning. But I'm going to ask Kevin to come on up, and I want to pray for Kevin as he shares with us this morning. God, we are so thankful for your kingdom workers, Kevin and Shelley, as they have come here just to, Lord, continue to share your truths with us. Lord, I pray that you, just a blessing over them. Lord, I thank you for all that you have done in their lives, Lord, over the many years of ministry, Lord, and the many years to come as well. Lord, just speak through him today. Lord, as he just continues and invests in our families and our parents, and Lord, we are thankful for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tyler. It is really good to be here. I need to make sure I've got all my stuff together. Here, there we go. It is great to be here. What a great time of worship this morning. I know we will hear a word from the Lord, but I don't know that y'all need to hear anything else from me. Our time of worship this morning has been so meaningful. I checked our travel back to San Angelo. We still live in San Angelo. And I think, depending on which way we go, straight down 75 or kind of around, it's somewhere in like 4 hours and 40 minutes, something like that, depending on what happens on 75 and, right? And I'm thinking, after being here this morning, I'm like, wow, that's too far. I could be here regularly. The warmth of this fellowship and this time of worship is so encouraging. So I'm wishing that was a little closer. Now, it is awfully close to Oklahoma, which is not a bad thing. But we're down in that. And I don't really like this. We're down in that Texas Tech country. Maybe we should move closer, Shelley. I don't know. But it's great to be here. And I do work with Arms of Hope. And we love this congregation and your relationship with Arms of Hope. And over the years, I've talked to some of you, and you have deep, deep history with Bowles Home. And that is so So encouraging, exciting to me. My father-in-law was actually adopted out of Bowles home years ago, so we've got a lot of connections there. And then the other campus, Medina Children's Home down in the Hill Country, another one. And then I primarily work with our family outreach centers. We have one in Denton, two in Dallas, two in Fort Worth, two in Houston, two in San Antonio. That's primarily my work, working with single moms and children. And we spent some time up here, and some of you may have seen me this morning kind of looking at you like, I think I've met you. Because we came up here and have spent at least two or three times up here with you at the Barnabas Center and the incredible work that you're doing there. And we've talked about what would it be like to partner with you. That dream is not dead. Our board is just a little cautious about expanding too quickly. And, boy, this is taped. This is good. This is recorded. This is going out. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get in trouble. What I see and what I know of what you're doing with the Barnabas Center, I'm like, why would we come in and mess that up? Y'all are doing great ministry there. So, but the dream is still there. Basil, we kind of talked about that last night. The dream's still there. And I want to continue to explore how we can work with you and learn from you. I don't think we could come in here as the experts at what we're doing. I would want to come in here and partner with you and learn from you how you see your community, how you pay attention to the world around you, and how you reach out with the hands and feet of Jesus. What an incredible ministry. I've known Basil and Rachel for a lot of years, going back to, we started talking a number of years last night, and we're like, wow, surely not. Number of years back to ACU, just met Todd and Leanne. I've met Todd before, but Leanne, I keep wanting to say Leanna. Henriette. I don't want to say Leanne. Henriette, good. Okay, I'm done. And then have known Tyler for 13 years, and so it's great to be with the staff last night. And I told him I was going to say this, but I mean it. You have a great staff. What a joy it was to be with them, and to see. I think if I boiled it down to one word, what I saw last night was humility. Just the humility of the staff. Their love and concern for one another, their love and concern for you, and what a blessing that is. So it is great to be here. Hopefully, as we get through the day, maybe sometime we'll get to come back if you let us. My wife's sitting right back there. That's Shelly. Y'all will get to hear from her a little more this afternoon. So this afternoon, we're going to be talking with families and parents about this whole idea of the rhythm of family. And boy, has our rhythm gotten thrown off over the last several years. Wow. It's interesting to me. One of the things that I think of is I think of the sounds of communion. Okay. I grew up in a small church out in West Texas, a church that actually just a few months ago, they ended up closing their doors, very small country church. But I remember my mom's job was to wash the communion cups because we actually had glass communion cups. Some of y'all are going, oh, yeah. And I remember the sound of the communion cups. There was a particular sound when they were those glass cups being taken and then put back in. There was a sound. And then that sound changed to the plastic cups, and it was a different sound. And then in this new era, this post-COVID era, there's now the sound of the little ripping of it, and all those different sounds of communion. And I've really not thought about this until just now, in fact, in this moment. But really, that sound of communion is the breath of God breathing over his people. And that's what I want to hang on to, is the breath of God as he breathes life into his people. So this morning, we're going to actually talk about the breath of God, and everything's going to be rooted in creation narrative. My doctoral work in spiritual and missional formation is actually in Sabbath, and I told the staff this last night, that I'm not talking about recreating a typical Jewish Sabbath, but I'm talking about reclaiming the holiness of time and this ability to rest and be with God. And I'm going to say this, and I've said it a number of places, that I believe our absolute best hope forward in this world that we now live in, this world of busyness and hatred and anger and division, our best way forward is to reclaim a sense of the sacredness of time and the holiness of Sabbath and what it is to be with God and to receive that breath of God as we sit with Him. And so today we're gonna root all of this in the creation narrative. So we're going to go there in just a moment. Let's pray as we begin. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time to be here and the worship that we have experienced. And I pray that it has been a blessing to you, and that you have been pleased and that you continue to be pleased with the words we are speaking and the things of our heart. Now, Father, be with us as we explore what it is, what it means to sit with you and to step into this long, slow work of transformation that you invite us into. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, we're going to have some slides for a little while up at the beginning, but I'm going to try not to be too married to those slides. And if we get off, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. But the creation narrative, there are so many questions with the creation narrative, right? It's one of the first stories we learn as children. Because it looks good in all those children's stories. But there's so many stories there. So how long was it? How long was it a day? Was it a 24-hour day? Is there some different aspect of time? Why did God create that? Why did He not create this? One of the things that blows my mind is that there are colors that we will never see, not because God couldn't make them, but because He chose not to make them. See, we serve a God who is able to say enough. And there's so all of these questions with the creation narrative and the greater light and the lesser light. But if you're a scientist, you know that the moon is not a light. It's a reflection. And what do we do with that? Let's hang on to these truths. First, just hang on to this, that the creation narrative is not a science project. It is a beautiful and even poetic rendering of the power, majesty, and love of an eternal God. So hang on to those questions, ask those questions, wrestle with those questions. And where, as you fall into one different area with those questions, okay. If you wrestle with that sun, moon, and all that, if you wrestle with why God created this and not that, just remember this. The whole story is this beautiful, poetic rendering of God's great love. And the second truth, that creation took as long or as short amount of time as God wanted it to take. God is God. God was God. God will be God. And I can't even begin to comprehend all of it. What's important is that God did and God is still doing. And He is God, and He is in control. It was as complicated and yet as simple as He chose. God was, is, and forever will be in control of creation and of time. It's not, I don't have to figure it all out. I remember science in high school. And I'm just going to tell you, I can't figure any of it out. We have scientists in the room. I am thankful you're a scientist. I'm not. We have mathematicians in the room. I was okay with math until they started, you know, 1 + 1 equal this. And then when they threw letters in there, I was like, okay, I'm done. There are things that I don't have to figure out, but I know God is God and God will always be God. And then this, that God is in control of time. He created time. It is, in fact, time. That is the very first thing that God deemed as holy. Before person, before thing, before place, it was time that God deemed as holy. And then this final truth. Before creation, there was nothing. There was chaos. In fact, one of the rabbinic teachings is it was chaotic nothingness. If you ever listen to the Bema podcast, Marty Solomon says it's like you put nothing and stick it in a blender and put it on high. It is chaotic nothingness. But the triune God, Father, Spirit, Word, Son, are together. And before God creates, God imagines. Now, to think about that for me is, what's the first thing God did? I think, well, God created. Before he even created, he imagined. There was this holy, what if? And God imagined. And God created. And so this morning we sit on the front porch of creation for just a little while. And in this creation, in this time, God imagines, God separates, God forms, God shapes, God creates, and God blesses. God looks at imagines humanity, and God forms, God shapes, God creates, God breathes, God blesses humanity. This is the long, slow work of God. In creation, it is a long, slow, continuing work of God then and now. And God invites us to join him in this long, slow process of formation and of transformation. And this long, slow work of God, it is not instant, but it is gradual. It is not flippant, but it is intentional. God did not flippantly just scoop up some dirt and breathe life. God knelt and intentionally held that dirt and formed and breathed life into it. The work of God is not flippant, but it is intentional. Sometimes it may not seem efficient, but it is always effective. And so these words out of Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. This is out of the NRSV. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished in all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and he hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. Question, what did God make on the seventh day? Well, we say nothing, God rested. One of the rabbinic teachings is God did create on the seventh day. And I hear my 13, 14-year-old self going, no, he didn't. But one of the rabbinic teachings is on the seventh day, God created rest. God created shalom. In his not doing, he did. In his inactivity, God was very active. In 6 days of God doing, on the seventh day, God's being was in control. And in his being, all of creation found rest. So, that seventh day. And that's where we are now. I want you to imagine this seventh day, these 6 days of God doing, and all these things that God did, and this incredible, each day is punctuated with God saying, this is good. This is good. This is good. He creates humanity. This is very good. And the seventh day, this is holy. Time is holy. And so we sit today. I want you to imagine us sitting in that seventh day on the front porch of creation. What's it like? Now, you have lakes around here. Out in West Texas, we don't have many lakes. And the ones we do are pretty dry right now. But I'm guessing that we have some folks who spent some mornings on a lake. When you get up before the sun is up and that the lake is just calm and beautiful, the sun is just about to break the horizon, and you're sitting there on that porch or that cabin or that RV or wherever, and you just breathe. This morning, I want us to imagine sitting on the front porch of creation. What is going on? It is a moment in time when all creation is at peace. You know those mornings, right? When everything is just right. Shelly and I sit on the front porch of our house almost every morning and have coffee. And it was a little warm to sit out there this summer, but we tried to. And there are some mornings that it's just perfect. And so on this front porch of creation, all creation is at rest, is at peace, ready and waiting. It is a holy rest, is a holy waiting. What is God going to do? God rests, God breathes, God waits. Creation, from the depths of the ocean to the farthest star, even beyond what we could see, all creation rests. All creation breathes. All creation waits. Man and woman are in this mix now. And isn't it incredible that before man and woman worked, they rested? Their first experience was not working with God or working for God. Sometimes we get caught in this trap of thinking that we are always working for God. Their first experience was in being with God. And so humanity rests. Humanity breathes. Humanity waits. The front porch of creation is frozen. It is frozen in time in this holy moment. This moment on the seventh day of waiting. It is filled with potential. It is full of imagination. It is rich with possibility. Holy questions hang in the air. What might emerge from this beauty? How will the blessings of God expand from here? What will God do next? How will humanity partner with God in all that is before them on this front porch of creation? It is rich with possibilities. We've known moments that are pregnant with possibility, haven't we? My daughter, my oldest daughter, was married in this last May. And I'm walking her down the aisle. And as we walk down the aisle, I see Mac, the groom, standing there. And I will never forget the look on his face, as it is a look of joy. And then the tears and just this anticipation. It is a moment pregnant with possibility. I remember one of my favorite memories is when I was actually performing a wedding there at Johnson Street, and we don't have a center aisle. And the groom is standing here, and the doors open, and the bride steps in, and everyone stands up, and he loses sight of her. And he looked at me, panicked. He's like, I can't see her. And he ran to the aisle and saw her, and I had to hold him up. It is that moment, this moment in time on the front porch where what's going to happen next? There's so many. It is full of possibility. It is that moment. And y'all haven't had rain up here much recently. So we actually had some yesterday. But it is that moment after a sun-scorched, baked summer when there are cracks in the ground and the fields have dried up and the water receded from the shoreline. And it's that first storm and the storm's coming and there's that breath, that rush of fresh air coming off the storm, and we know the rain is almost here. That's the front porch of creation. It is the first cry of the newborn baby. What's next? And so there we sit on the front porch of creation, waiting, anticipating the beauty, the breath of God. Let's flash forward to the world that we now live in. I don't have this quote up there, but I want to read this to you. In the world that we now live in, instead of sitting and waiting and being with God, anticipating the goodness of God as He works in us and forms us and works through us to transform the world, instead, our blind ambition pushes us forward at great price. Fully believing in the myth of scarcity, that there is not enough time, not enough wealth, not enough goodness, maybe even not enough God. We begin to believe that, and we starve in the midst of our abundance, and we end up demonizing the other. And we build walls around our country, fences around our neighborhoods, and barriers around our own hearts. Tables. The Lord's table, our kitchen tables, tables that were created for meals, fellowship, and hospitality, lie empty as the hum of 24-hour news reminds us that the gods of this age require more than we can ever produce. They remind us that our fears are very real and there is simply no time to be with one another. From the porch of creation to the world in which we live, a world where each day is punctuated by hate and anger and fear and distrust. And the breath of God that was there on the seventh day is just waiting to blow new life back into us and reorient us to the possibilities. We have become slaves to our abundance. We put our hope in a God of unending grace, mercy, and love, and yet we are held captive by this myth that there simply is not enough love, grace, and mercy to go around. Let's go back to the front porch. Let's go back to the front porch of creation where God imagines and God breathes and God waits and God blesses. I want you to imagine for a moment the front porch of the Park Avenue Church. Shelley and I got here a little early yesterday and kind of drove around a few places, and just I said, well, let's go. I'm going to show you where the church building is. And we drove up here, and we spent a little time out here, just parked in the parking lot. If somebody had driven by, they're like, what are those people doing in our parking lot? But we just sat there, and we talked about this weekend, and we prayed about our time together with you. And for a little bit, maybe we could have imagined the front porch of Park Avenue, but this is your home. I want you to imagine the front porch of the Park Avenue Church. And what would it be like for this church, for this body of faithful believers in Christ, to sit, to rest, to dream, to wait, to imagine? What would it be like for this church community to look at the world around you and say, what might God want to do in us and through us and with all of us? Is it possible that our God of grace and mercy and love and all goodness is actually big enough for Denison? The faith community lives as a contrast society over and against the chaotic reality of the dominant culture. Those who live in our neighborhoods, communities, should be able to taste the kingdom when they encounter the church. My guess is that your community already does that. They already sense the kingdom in you. But remember, the work of God is intentional. What would it be like for us to intentionally say, when this, the Denison and the larger community around this area experiences us, we want them to taste the kingdom of heaven? And then, what would it be like to invite the larger community to sit with you, with us, and say, what does God want to do with us? What does this God of all creation want to do in us and through us? How might we together be a taste of the kingdom, the world beyond Sherman and Denison? The front porch of Park Avenue. Tell you just briefly, I'm trying to make sure I'm honoring time here. One of the things I'll say this afternoon, we can't create time, we can't save time, but we can redeem time. I'm trying to make sure I redeem the time that I have here. I'll tell you a little bit about my front porch growing up. Shelly's heard me tell this story so many times. Grew up out in West Texas, literally grew up in the cotton fields. My dad raised cotton, we had cotton fields all around us. And that's where I grew up. And I remember one of my favorite times of the year was the very first plowing in the spring. When the fields had sat through the winter, and some years we had rain and snow and some years we didn't, but the fields sat just waiting, dormant through the winter. And then there was that first plowing. And I remember after that first plowing, when in the evening, I would go out, and sometimes my dad would go with me, but sometimes I just wanted to play in the dirt. And I would go out, and I would sit down in that dirt of the cotton field. And I say I was baptized in the dirt, and there were nights that I probably looked like I was baptized in the dirt. And I would sit there in that dirt and just pull it up. And the smell, I can still smell it today. That dirt, moist and rich and waiting, and could smell it there. And there was this anticipation of a harvest that had not yet been planted. And it is just one of those memories that's in my mind. And that dirt, what might God do with this dirt? As the seeds are planted and as the rains come, what might come from this? So I believe that's where we are right now. I believe that, let me say, each one of us individually, I believe that God wants to sit with us, and He wants us to be with Him, and He wants us to imagine once again, what might God do with me? I'm telling you, I believe more than that, he wants to do that with a body of believers. I get to go to a lot of churches. Part of my job and this part of the thing that I get to do, it is a privilege to get to be in a lot of different places. And Shelly and I, pretty much every Sunday we're out on the road, we say, you know, today we're going to meet a lot of good people that love Jesus. And that's been one of the freeing, wonderful things of this time in our life. But it's a tough time for the church. I know churches struggle. I know local congregations struggle. And time after time I'm with church, I'm talking to leaders, and they say, you know, it's just hard right now. Things have shifted. Things have changed so much. Do you know what? I believe it's about the right time for the church. I believe this is just about the right time for the people of God to be the people of God, to dream again, to imagine again who God is, what God is doing, and how God wants to work through us. The church of Jesus Christ is not done. Folks, the kingdom of God is alive. There are great and wonderful things that God wants to do in us and through us. It is time for us to sit with Him and to imagine with the God of all creation to sit in this holy moment, this holy rest, this holy place of imagination and say, what if? And allow the wind of the Spirit to blow again in us and shape us and transform us to be the people of God in this new age. There is nothing about this age, nothing about this chaos that is surprising to God. And I believe He has His people in just the right place at just the right time to do just the right things for the kingdom of heaven. The long, slow work of God. This morning, it is my prayer, and I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you, that we are ready to sit on the front porch with God, to dream and to imagine and to be empowered, and then to step out and to be the people of God in this new age. I want to pray with you, and then we'll sing a song. And I know that Tyler mentioned that there are folks ready to pray with you. To be a people of prayer. If somehow, some way, God has spoken and caused you to say, you know, I'm ready to dream again and to imagine again, get with someone today and pray with them and say, let's do this together. And let's allow God to do something new in us and something new through us. Let's pray, and then we'll stand and sing. Father, we thank You for this day and for the goodness of these people. And God, we so often get just consumed with the busyness and the stuff of this world. And there's so many things pressing in on us and so many plates to spin. And we worry about this and we're afraid of that. Father, would You help us to stop right now and to just sit and be with You and allow You to breathe life into us once again. Father, do work in us. And then would You do work through us. God, thank You for Your grace and mercy. And I pray that today we will be images of You and we will extend peace and mercy and goodness to those around us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand and sing.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Blessed Redeemer and Savior Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night.
nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. Lord, I come searching for words to express my adoration of thy holiness.
We want to welcome our visitors. I know there's a lot of them in the audience, especially in light of the conference this afternoon. But also we want to welcome our online guests as well. We have many each week that tune in to our online service. Kevin, thank you. Thank you very much. You painted that picture of God's creation. And then you broke it down, the beauty, and yet the anticipation of what the potential could be. But you also let our limitations of life and how it affects us. But then you turned it around and said the potential that Park Avenue has here in the Texoma area. And we just thank you for your lesson this morning. Appreciate it. Men that helped with the service, we just appreciate y'all as well. Workshop this afternoon, I almost forgot. Workshop this afternoon. If you like what you heard, come back this afternoon, have lunch, and that's where there's plenty of food available. He also mentioned one other particular group that gets overlooked a lot, our volunteers from Barnabas. I just want to say thank you for all you do on a day in and day out basis. I know that it's a great opportunity for what y'all do, and we just thank y'all for that. He also, sorry about the laundry list, but he also reminded us the awesomeness of our staff, and we just want to